Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's Barbecue Nation with JT on a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now here's JT.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Nation. That's the Barbecue Nation. I'm JT along with Dr. Dave, high atop the world in the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in downtown Portland. And we welcome all of our affiliates on the Radio Northwest Network and down in Texas and our two home stations here, KUFO and KXTG in Portland. How would you go from a hairdresser to a barbecue king? I mean, that's a big question, and we're going to find out how Ron Swanby from up in the Tri-Cities area has done that, and successfully so. We're going to talk to Ron in just a couple minutes. Our music this week is from Simon and Garfunkel. And, of course, this portion of Barbecue Nation is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. From the heart of the Pacific Northwest, it's beef you can rely on and feel good about serving to your friends and family. So, Ron Swanby, he is the owner, operator, purveyor of all things barbecue at Swampy's, which is a little different than his name, barbecue and catering up in the Tri-Cities area. Ron, welcome to Barbecue Nation.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So I guess the big question is, how in the hell did you go from being a hairdresser, cutting hair, styling hair, whatever, I'm sure you covered all of that, to winding up with being a pit master, starting a business, and going for it?
Well, it is a big jump, but they both have something in common, and it's just serving people. And it was through a lot of prayer that we ended up going this direction into barbecue. And instead of pleasing one person at a time, we can do hundreds at a time now.
Well, yeah, you can, and you're still doing it, so your food must be great, because I know that within our barbecue world, if the food's not so hot, you don't get a lot of repeat business. So, yeah, I think you're doing okay there. What actually was the stimulus for you to say, I want to get involved in barbecue?
So I started doing a little cooking for our men's groups in church, and Please know that I don't need my ego bumped up or anything like that. I try to stay extremely humble, but there was something to be said after the first cookout for these men, 275 to be exact. And I walk into the room, and kind of this cheer. It was almost like rock star status. Oops. I apologize about that.
That's all right.
But yeah, it was, I kind of felt like a rock star, and I thought, wow, what a great feeling. And just seeing that, there's 275 guys sitting in front of me that are very satisfied. And that kind of gave me the bug, to do it for the masses, you know, as a business. We started working on a barbecue sauce at that time, and people started asking for us to sell them the barbecue sauce, and I knew that there had to be some legal avenue to go down in order to sell it. So we started pursuing that, and actually took 5 years of working on this barbecue sauce recipe before we got that dialed in, and a couple years of dealing with re-educating to get certified to actually process the barbecue sauce. And we thought that throwing a catering business would be a great way to get our barbecue sauce out. And I guess the barbecue business has been what really took off.
You could have picked something easier.
I probably could have. My goodness, I don't know if I would have been as happy, though, because this is a pretty gratifying job. A lot of work.
It is. Excuse me. Gosh, got a leftover winter cold here or something, so I apologize for that.
No worries.
Well, first of all, I wanted to say that it's kind of hard to achieve rock star status in the Tri-Cities. That's a big deal.
I think so.
Tri-Cities isn't big on rock stars. So
no, they're not.
No, it's so you've done something correctly, but you had to go to school to get certified to do sauces and that. But still, you know, when you're starting to cook, obviously there's all kinds of courses now in seminars and camps and things for, you know, cooking brisket or what have you, but it's not like getting a license to drive a semi. I mean, you can still kind of just go out there and do it. So tell us about the process of your trial and errors, probably a lot of errors along the way to get to this point.
You know, I started off cooking on a Traeger and, you know, and I think it's a great backyard barbecue for wood pellet. And I have a dear friend here, in the Tri-Cities, who they had a barbecue business at one time. His father was won the Texas Cook-Off a couple times with his chicken. And he kind of, I wouldn't say took me under his wing, but allowed me to play along on his barbecue pit and learn how to do this. And my mindset, because of being in the hair business, you know, every minute counts. And so I really didn't have to go through a lot of trial and error. I just asked a lot of questions. And he was good at sharing temperatures with me and where you want to take the meat to. And so the barbecue knowledge was really passed down from him. As far as, you know, how long the time, what you need to know about that. And then I started creating my own rubs to do what I do. And it turned out really, really good. I don't know how to say it. My wife keeps telling me, don't say this. But I'm going to say it anyways. I'm really not that good, but my barbecuers are phenomenal. And I think having the right wood has helped out. And being from the Pacific Northwest, you know, we have great access to fruit wood.
Right.
And I am a firm believer that that fruit wood is just, it is so, it's not a heavy smoke. It really complements the meat, puts a beautiful color on it. And I suffer from heartburn. So when I get heavy smoke, it just tears me up. And so the fruit wood isn't a heavy smoke.
And you've got different, you know, assortments of that. Plus you've got alder and we do have, you know, maple and oak up here, too, among mm-hmm. other things. But the selection of woods and selection of pellets, the, you know, flavorings of the pellets or the pellets that are made out of those particular woods, if that's what you're doing. For the average person, they probably don't make a heck of a lot of difference in the flavor overall. But for somebody who really likes barbecue and is kind of tuned into it, I think they can make a difference for them.
Oh, I would agree 100%. If I had my way and it was accessible every day, I would use only peach and apricot. I love the flavors that it puts on the meat.
Cool. I like that. I mean, you're getting something done there. We are talking with Ron Swanby. That's Swanby from Swampies. That's with a P. Barbecue and catering up in the Tri-Cities. Now, we're going to take a break here on Barbecue Nation, let some of our local affiliates do some business, and we'll be back with Ron in a couple of minutes. Barclays for your gold, silver, collectibles, rare coins, and high-quality jewelry. Barclays in Oregon, 503-982-2033. That's 503-982-2033. BarclaysBuySellPawn.com. Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, right here from the Turn It Don't Burn It Studios in beautiful downtown Portland. We're talking with Ron Swanby from Swampy's Barbecue and Catering up in the Tri-Cities area up in Washington. If you would like to email us, it's Barbecue Nation, that's BBQ Nation, at alphamediausa.com. You can also send your recipes there. Facebook, it's Barbecue Nation with JT. And, of course, we have affiliates all over the Radio Northwest Network. And we have a Twitter site, and we have all that stuff. So, I mean, you can connect with us. You can find us. It's pretty easy. Easiest way is probably just go look up Barbecue Nation, and not the restaurants in Asia, but the one here in the Pacific Northwest. As I said, we're talking with Ron Swanby from Swampy's Barbecue and Catering in Tri-Cities. So how did you come up with the name of Swampy?
Well, that's a good question, Jeff. So I grew up in Missouri, and hopefully none of my Missouri friends listen to this because it's not going to be good for them.
Oh, yeah, well, they will.
Our last name, like you said before, Swanby with an N, and I don't know if there was a deficiency in learning how to read or they just wanted to call me Swampy, but that's what they nicknamed me when I grew up in Missouri. And then we moved to Washington State when I was 12 years old, and I was playing football, and we were in the huddle, and I was waiting for the call to come in from the coach, and one of the players said, "Hey, what's the call, Swampy?" And so this darn name kept following me. And then, you know, you leave high school, and you leave your high school friends, and you don't see them much, and I must have been about 34 years old, and walking down the hallway in church, and some guy says, "Hey, Swampy." And so when the idea of creating a business for barbecue came up, it was a no-brainer. I just, you know, this thing keeps following me. And come to find out, people called my brothers that too. So it's just a good family name, I guess.
That works. It obviously works. So you are not in a brick and mortar situation, but yet you have three big cookers.
Yes.
And two of them you can haul around for catering events or, you know, wherever they are needed. And then you've got a larger one that you don't move very often. And so how did you come up with that program, that theory? What made you decide? Most people will take one or two cookers, especially if they've got a catering business, one they can go on site with and one that they leave at some central location. But now you've got three.
Well, we did that. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to plan big, and I don't ever want to get caught in a situation where I cannot prepare enough for any requests.
Right.
And so the two that we have right now, my first barbecuer, I could feed about 150 people with that at one time. And, you know, we have the Tri-City Water Follies here, you know, with the hydroplanes. And that's a big event. And I knew that I wanted to get involved with doing some caterings down at the hydroplane races. And so I knew I was going to need something bigger. So that's why we built our second barbecuer, and that it's just a behemoth of a barbecuer. Weighs 9,900 pounds, and my gosh, on the first door alone, we can put 52 racks of ribs on it, and that's double. You know, there's doors on both sides of this thing, and so we're able to take those two to events like the boat races. And last year, or actually the end of 2017, we decided to add a food truck to our business. And so we use that for our caterings as a mobile kitchen. And then I've got somebody looking in my window. And so they're distracting me. I'm sorry. And then we decided to move into a permanent location with our food truck, which is going to open here in a couple weeks at the Wine Village here in Kennewick. And so when we decided that we were going to make that move, we decided that, you know, we need a standalone barbecuer. I didn't want to leave my pits that had a trailer hitch and wheels where somebody could come, and I'm sure you could lock them up, but I just didn't want to deal with that. I think it'd be very difficult for somebody to come and pick this thing up and go away with it. So that's why we came up with this third barbecue, which is a standalone.
Who made them for you?
Well, my first two, one of my buddies that I used to cut hair on, he made them. And then this last one, a company called High Desert Maintenance and Fabrication built it. And I sent you some pictures, and hopefully the pictures do it justice. But it is a fine work of craftsmanship. I went to Texas last year and went and visited many different locations, and I saw some nice barbecuers, but there was nothing like this.
So you basically designed it?
With this last barbecuer, I told them how big I wanted the burn box. I went and bought a 1,000-gallon propane tank, and I told them how big I wanted the smokestack. And they designed everything else. I told them I needed a top and a bottom rack. And these guys, like I said, it is a work of art. We've been firing it up the last 2 days, and it's been stopping traffic. it's just crazy because I truly believe that it's going to be a destination for people to just go and check this thing out, because I had never seen anything like this.
I can believe it, Ron, because I saw the pictures. We will be posting them on Facebook and on our websites and all that. We'll tweet about it also on this. We are going to take a break here on The Nation, and we're going to come back with Ron Swanby from Swampies. Say that six times in a row. Barbecue and catering up in Tri-Cities, and we'll get more of Ron's story right after this. It's Barclays for your gold, silver, collectibles, rare coins, and high-quality jewelry. That's Barclays in Oregon, 503-982-2033, 503-982-2033. That's Barclays, buysellpawn.com. Hey, everybody, welcome back to The Nation, Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, along with Dr. Dave, and we're talking today with Ron Swanby from Swampies, and we'll get to the more details in that right after that. But this portion of Barbecue Nation is brought to you in part by Painter Hills Natural Beef from the heart of the Pacific Northwest. Comes a beef product you can feel good about, especially when it's dribbling down your chin. Boy, is that good stuff. And my friends down at Barclays, Buy Sell Pawn, what are you going to do with your tax refund? How about some gold? Buy a little gold instead of selling it, or some silver, or that nice ring for that special occasion. That's Barclays in Woodburn. Excuse me. We're talking with Ron Swanby, again, from Swampy's Barbecue and Catering up in the Tri-Cities. Curious, where do you get your meat? What kind of meat do you use?
Well, right now we are purchasing a majority of our meat from Smart Food Service.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I get most of my meat. I'm getting ready to switch up my beef here real soon. I'm not sure if I can disclose where that's going to be coming from as of yet. We will be posting it to all of our social media once we go this route, but it's we're going to be moving to 100% all organic beef, grass-fed, grain-finished. And the really cool thing about the beef that we're going to be moving to, every dollar spent, money will be sent to all across the world to orphanages to help provide social and health services to them.
Oh, great. Good for you.
So that's kind of the direction that we're heading on with that.
Now, you have some other items on your menu, Ron, that a lot of people, especially up here in the Northwest, let's just say on my side of the mountains, don't participate in very much. Now, if you grew up on a ranch or you're in the high desert or you're in other parts of the country, probably had it a lot in your life. But I know you were talking about you smoked some beef tongue.
Oh, yes. Yes, yeah, up here, we have a lot of taco trucks, and I've been going to them since I was probably in high school, and I've always loved to buy tongue tacos. And not too long ago, I decided, you know what, I wonder what that'd be like smoked. And so went and bought some from the butcher, and instead of cooking the tongue whole, I had them slice it up into steaks.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, I didn't have to worry about boiling it and pulling off that outside layer, and the smoke would get to the meat. And so I smoked it, and then you can smoke it for a long time, and you're not going to get it tender. So you have to either put it in a crock pot after you've smoked it, or I like to use oven bags and throw it in an oven bag. And throw a little beer in with it and finish it off in the barbecue. And oh, my goodness, it falls apart. It's kind of like a shredded beef. Very tender, very flavorful. Probably one of my favorite meats to eat.
Oh, tongue's quite good. I know some people are going to go, yuck. But no, tongue is quite good if it's prepared well. I mean, one thing I like, not to get off subject here, is I like chicken hearts.
Yes.
And gizzards are fine. They're a little chewy, but if they're done properly, they're great. And, chicken livers, that's fine. Turkey livers, that's fine. But I do love chicken hearts. And a lot of people just kind of go, I don't eat organs. Well, okay, that's fine. I don't eat tofu. So there you go. We'll be that way. What else are you going to put on the menu as you're going forward, do you think? Have you started to create new things?
Absolutely. We actually just turned in our new menu proposal to the health department. When we open up at our permanent location, we'll be doing maybe once every couple months, we'll do whole animals. So goat, lamb, mm-hmm. pig, turkeys, chickens. We're going to throw on some different side dishes that we haven't been preparing on the food truck, smoked potato casseroles. We're going to be doing, we do smoked loaded potatoes, throw pulled pork on it. One of our top selling sandwiches right now is, it's called the El Swampito, and it's smoked flank steak and, super tender. We saute, bell peppers and onions, and we have we source out our buns from a local bakery, and I get them the day of. We toast them, throw some guacamole on it, and they're ridiculous sandwiches. We'll be doing, we offer a Cuban sandwich right now, and I think we'll do, we'll also do a brisket Cuban sandwich once we get to our permanent location. It's one thing that I don't, right now with our food truck, we're only open for lunches. And so if I was to serve brisket, that means I have to wake up super early or not even go to bed to cook it. And so once we get this permanent spot, we'll offer some brisket and just find different ways to use it, like on the Cuban sandwich. We're very, I like to try things out. You know, I'm not stuck to the just what the mainstream barbecue think, you know, mm-hmm. where it's just brisket, ribs, chicken, pulled pork. I like to try it all. There's a lot of different meats out there to cook.
Oh yeah. So what does a day for Ron Swanby consist of as far as getting up, getting things fired up, getting stuff in the cooker? Kind of give us an example. We got a couple minutes here before we got to go to break, so that should be good time to do this. But I want to know what it's like. What time do you put the meats on? What do you do?
Okay, so normally we serve lunch starting at 11. So depending on what our menu is, I'm going to show up between 6:30 and 7:30 to get the barbecue lit. And everything that I do, I can do it now in that amount of time. And I apologize to the hardcore smoking guys that want to put a lot of smoke on it, but I just, our method is not that way.
That's fine.
We'll show up, get the barbecue lit, get the meat on there. Barbecue usually takes about anywhere from 15 to 30 minutes to get up to temperature. So we throw the meat on there and then start pulling it off at about 10:45 in the morning. As when we get to our new spot, I'll show up probably an hour before I normally would show up because we're going to start offering breakfast at the new location.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, while the meat's cooking, I can still make money instead of just sitting around and waiting for something to cook. So we get the sides prepared in that amount of time before 11. And none of our sides take a long time. It's pretty much like clockwork now. Get everything done within a 3.5 period for lunch.
So are you ever going to try to do the dinner thing, especially in the summertime?
At the new location, yes, we will be open. We'll be open from 7 in the morning to 7 at night, Wednesday through Sunday. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we'll do breakfast. And like I said, we're going to be at a wine village. And so Wednesdays and Thursdays, we're going to do family-style dinner where people can buy it by the pound. And then Fridays and Saturday nights, we're going to do a little bit nicer meals. And when I say nicer, we'll do pre-orders for prime or for filet mignon tenderloin. And I don't know if you've ever smoked that before, but it's delicious and it's so tender. We'll throw on have some really good sides to go with it. And then on Sundays, we'll just, it'll be an easy day. Our hours will be 11 to 5 on Sundays. It's also to provide food for the wineries that are going to be right next to us.
Well, there you go. That works great. We're going to take a break here on Barbecue Nation. If you'd like to listen to us and the After Hours segment, you can find us on SoundCloud. It's Barbecue Nation. That's spelled out, B-A-R-B-E-Q-E, with JT there. And also, again, if you want to email us, it's bbqnation@alphamediausa.com. We're going to take a quick break on the Nation here and come back with Ron Swanby in just a moment. Go get something to eat while we're doing that. Barclays for your gold, silver, collectibles, rare coins, and high-quality jewelry. Barclays in Oregon, 503-982-2033. That's 503-982-2033. BarclaysBuySellPond.com.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again.
Welcome back to the Nation. That's Barbecue Nation here on the Radio Northwest Network and on KUFO, KXTG here in beautiful downtown Portland and KSEY in Seymour, Texas, among other stations. We thank you all for sharing your time with us today. We're talking with Ron Swamby from Swampy's Barbecue up in the Tri-Cities in the Washington, kind of central Washington, actually, I guess, isn't it? You call it central Eastern. Or Eastern there, Ron?
Southeastern.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, wherever it is, it's up the river and through the woods from where I live. So we'll just go from there. How long did it take you when you were starting this whole process? And you've kind of evolved in this rather quickly, but how long did it take you to learn and really grab onto a couple of the basic barbecue skills, like not opening up the lid and checking stuff every 5 minutes?
What? I still do that. No, I don't. it took me a while. You know, I started feeling comfortable probably about a year into cooking on my pit.
Right.
You know, where prior to that, and we already had a catering business going. My gosh, I think I lost a lot of hair. Matter of fact, I think I got a bald spot in the back of my head because I didn't know the barbecue pit well enough. And so, yes, opening the burn box door, letting all the heat out and thinking, why isn't this cooking? We need to serve them in 10 minutes. And so, yeah, it took about a year to finally realize and to where it's like an appendage now.
Yes, I can see that. I can really see that just from my own personal experience. Plus, you get to know it. It's like any other tool you use. You kind of know its limitations and you know what you can expect from it. And, you know, when you come to grips with all that stuff, it's pretty good. It's pretty easy to work with them.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you took a little trip down to Texas, you told us. I'm assuming you went to, like, Franklin's and Mueller's and some of these guys. I don't know exactly who they were, but you did go. If you could work with one of your barbecue heroes for like a day or a week, who would it be?
You know, we went to a place, I hope I get it right, and I just really liked, it's in Spring, Texas, and boy, they've got an odd name. I'm not even going to get it right now. It'd be between them, and we went to Terry Black's.
Mm-hmm.
I really like Terry Black's, just the way they had it set up. They seem to have a good thing going. I enjoyed that. I mean, obviously, Franklin's a pillar in this industry. And my wife bought the book for me to read. And so I feel like I've worked with him already by reading what he shared. I'd probably have to say at Black's, go to Black's.
There you go.
That's who I'd like to work with.
Okay. And then probably our last question for this segment. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much barbecue do you actually eat on a regular basis? And the reason I'm asking this question, I ask it of a lot of people, is because when you work in that business, if you work in any aspect of the food business as far as actually creating the dishes, you're always sampling and you know, checking things, taking temperatures, checking the thickness of a sauce or what have you. So you're always tasting. And a lot of people, myself included, by the time you get done, you would rather go eat a bowl
Asian
of chow
food.
Mein or something.
Asian food, yes.
Yeah.
So scale of 1 to 10, and I'm assuming 1 is very little.
Right,
10
correct.
10 is all the time. We would be at a 1. And if you were barbecuing, though, Jeff, I'd be all over it. but when I'm doing it, that's the last thing I want to eat. And people will often ask, well, what would it taste like to you? And I'll just tell them, I have no clue.
Yeah.
I've got a crew that they can try it out, and they like to eat it. They're not as sick of it as I am. And the crazy thing about that question is we've actually entered food competitions that I never even tried. I never even tried it before the competition. and I made it, and we actually won.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, yeah, I'm not a big fan of smoky barbecue, and especially when I'm doing it.
There you go. Ron Swanby from Swampy's Barbecue up in Tri-Cities, thanks for being on The Nation this week and sharing your story with us. I appreciate it. And Ron and I will be back in the after-hour show that you can hear on SoundCloud and some other platforms. You just have to kind of log into it. So, but Ron, thanks for being with us on The Nation.
Oh, thank you so much.
No worries. We're going to get out of here. And remember our little motto here, turn it, don't burn it. You can check out some of my stuff at thecowboycook.com. And we've got the new Barbecue Nation with JT website coming out. I told you it was going to come out last fall. It didn't. We had some technical difficulties. It's going to be out here in a couple of weeks, so I'll be directing you to that. So for Dr. Dave and myself, we hope you all have a great week, and go out there and eat some Q. Take care, everybody.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.